excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Colorado State edition of Excuse Me for My Voices on the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the way home from the Colorado State game. It's interesting to me how the world has changed in Cal football. A decade ago, it wouldn't matter how we got to a 42-7 score. Everyone would be ecstatic. It could be against one of the high schools of the bands that came out to perform at halftime, and we would still be ecstatic. Expectations are totally different now. Everyone leaving that game felt flat. They felt like it wasn't very convincing. They felt like it wasn't a very good game. It was boring, I heard people say. And I felt the same way. I'm not going to deny that I'm not a part of that. But it is important, I think, to take just a step back and remember where this program has been and how far we've come. Particularly since I'm about to launch into a huge criticism of why the Bears really didn't perform that well today. Let's at least start off with 42-7 over a reasonably good team in the Mountain West Conference. I'll start on the defensive side of the ball because really I think that was the far better of the two performances. Now, Colorado State clearly had lots of trouble on offense. And every time they'd even get a little bit of rhythm going, they'd do things to shoot themselves in the foot. So the Cal performance was not great. But let's be honest, they only gave up 7 points. And those 7 points were given up late in the game with second and third string secondary people playing. And it all came down to one big play that got them from approximately midfield down to, you know, first and goal. And otherwise, they pitched a shutout. And it was a pretty convincing shutout. There was never really any moment where you said, ooh, they're close. They might score here. But clearly, there was a huge talent difference between the Bears and Colorado State. And the defensive line and the linebackers overwhelmed Colorado State. Their quarterback had no time to throw, the running back had no holes to go through, and the Bears did a good job of exploiting that physical difference. And so in one sense, it's hard to criticize. It's hard to say, you know, that they needed to do better. Do better at what? But what it doesn't do is give us all that much confidence going into a much better team next week in Arizona State. There still continues to be issues with the Bears when the quarterback has time to throw. That the zone schemes that the Bears use and the general quality of the pass coverage is not that great. And I think if there's something on defense to be really worried about, that's it. That if the Bears can't get pressure, a good quarterback, somebody like Rudy Carpenter next week, will be able to pick apart the Cal secondary. What teams will not be able to do is run effectively against the Bears. And that's what makes Maryland last week such an exception, because they did give up a lot of running yards. But if you look at throughout the season, who we've played, whose running game we've had absolutely destroyed and shut down, the Bears' run defense is obviously very good. Javon Ringer for Michigan State has been lighting up the field on all of his opponents' sense. I think today he had his third game in a row of 200-plus yards, if I understood things that I heard in various announcements. He was totally locked up against the Bears. So I think that bodes really well for the run defense, and I think the pass defense, when they get pressure, does a good job. Where there's issues is when they allow a quarterback time to pass, there are a lot of options. And I think that's the thing. They're going to have to get better at their coverage when the defensive line isn't getting pressure so that the Bears can't be picked apart. And perhaps with a team like Arizona State, a team that everyone's expecting isn't going to have a lot of success running the ball, that the Bears will be able to drop down into coverages or emphasize bringing pressure in the passing game in a way that will make it so they'll be able to overcome that imbalance. So on defense, you know, lots of reasons to be optimistic, but at the same time, this isn't exactly the team that proves a good defense. It just proves that when the Bears have a strong physical advantage and play up to their potential, they're going to dominate. And that would be true of any team of Cal's physical caliber versus a team of Colorado State's physical caliber. So I think we're really going to be looking forward to Arizona State next week to see how the Bears' defense performs. The other side of the ball is far more discouraging. Let's not forget that with our starting quarterback under center, the Bears only put up 7 points on offense. Riley has not looked sharp now for 3 weeks. The running game was so potent against Washington State it didn't matter, but he didn't look sharp against Maryland, and now he didn't look that sharp against Colorado State. He seems to be a bit hesitant. He seems to be overthinking things. His touch on the ball hasn't been the greatest. His accuracy hasn't been the greatest. And let's face it, when Longshore came into the game, he did a better job. The 21 points of offense, 14 of those came with Longshore under center. And the team was much more balanced with Longshore under center. With Riley under center, they threw a bit, but it wasn't the throwing that got them down the field. It just provided a little bit of balance. But with Longshore under center, the team really was balanced, and he had a lot of short passing plays that got the 4 yards it was supposed to. He rolled out surprisingly well. There's a lot of things going on there that I'd say of the two quarterbacks, Longshore had the better performance today. And while I'm not going to throw out the quarterback controversy card yet, if a couple more games like that happen, particularly if the Bears are still, you know, in the hunt and it's important that we have the best QB out there, I would not be surprised to see there start to be a QB controversy if Riley doesn't start to improve. Now, the thing that we all forget is this is his first year starting. We're only 4 games in, and you really have to give him 5 and 6 games to figure things out. And after this next bye, after Arizona State, hopefully the game really starts to slow down for him and his hesitancy goes away and he really makes that next leap up to be the kind of QB he needs to be to give the Bears the balance they need to really unleash Best and Vereen. Offensive line, I thought, did a great job today. The move of Mitchell Schwartz over to left tackle seemed to be working quite effectively. Riley had lots of time to throw. There wasn't a lot of pressure. And again, there's that worry that the reason that's the case is because you're playing an inferior opponent, and what's going to happen when you play a much better opponent? So, again, really this isn't the game to measure all of these units on, but at least taken on its own, offensive line did really well, and the moves that they've made seem to be helping. Same was true when they were run blocking. Lots of big holes opened up. Best seemed to be doing a really good job today of timing, hitting those holes. Better than I saw him do at Maryland, for sure, and actually better than some of the other instances in the early games. He's had a little bit of trouble with timing, getting through those holes just right, and today I felt like he did an extremely good job of that. So Best continues to be really good at the running back position. The receivers and the tight ends did a mediocre job. Still those issues with dropped balls. Sean Young dropped an easy touchdown. There's no excuse for him dropping. And there's just a little bit too much of that going on all the time. And it's going to hurt the Bears at some point. It's going to be a big problem at some point. So they're going to have to clean that stuff up. They're going to have to keep the balance. And Riley's going to have to get on his game for the Bears to find more success. Overall, I thought the play calling was a little uncreative. A number of times, people have criticized Tedford for being overly conservative in a game where the Bears are heavily favored, and actually that makes it too easy on a team like that to compete with us. But it wasn't a huge issue. There was enough variety there that things worked out okay. I mean, again, the score was 42-7. What I was really impressed with today was how well the Bears forced errors out of Colorado State. The interceptions, the punt block, and with all of those things, they executed really well. The punt block wasn't just, you know, recovered. No, it was run back for a touchdown. One of the interceptions went back for a touchdown. Sid Kwan had a number of good runs, one of which that went for a touchdown on punting. The other interception I can think of, you know, stopped a potent opportunity for Colorado State. So that was really good to see. The exact opposite, of course, was true for the Cal offense when it made mistakes. Vereen fumbled in the red zone, and that's just the cardinal sin. You don't fumble in the red zone. Best fumbled on what was one of the Bears' first productive drives late in the first quarter, early in the second quarter. When the Bears were making mistakes, they were doing it at really bad times. It wasn't when it was already going to be a three and out in a you know, boring situation. It was when it really mattered, and that really hurt the Bears. So to some degree, perhaps it only looked real bad because those moments of when those kind of mistakes were made were really inopportune, and if they can clean up those mistakes, the Bears will do better. The other thing to remember is the defense was on the field for three consecutive possessions because of the blocked punt and the interception for the touchdown back-to-back. So I think that's a really good thing for the defense that they were able to come out and do three consecutive possessions where they forced Colorado State to give up the ball. But it also means that the offense didn't get a lot of opportunities, and I was joking around that, you know, they may never see the field again the way this is going. The defense may rattle off 42 points of their own, and that'll be the end of it. Of course, it didn't end up happening, and no one would expect it actually would, but the point is that there may have been a few mitigating factors as to why the offense only put up 21 of the 42 points. Add to the offense's credit, no field goals today. Now, there was the one blocked field goal, but that was a 41-yarder. When the Bears got in the red zone, minus that one fumble, they punched it in, and that's a great thing. That's a good sign, and hopefully that trend will continue, and hopefully it wasn't just about the Bears playing an inferior opponent. The other area I was much improved with was special teams kickoffs. While the Bears still are having trouble kicking the ball deep and keeping it stinking in bounds, I mean, how many times are we going to get the penalty where the ball comes out to the 40? I was happy with the kickoff coverage and their ability to get down the field and make a tackle. I don't think there was a single kickoff where Colorado State ran the ball out past the 30, and that's a really good thing considering how they've been playing of late. So I think that was the area of the best improvement, not necessarily the best unit on the field, but where the most improvement has been made over the previous weeks, and that was really good to see. So overall, you know, minus the kicking out of bounds and minus the blocked field goal, special teams did a pretty darn good job. Defense did a really good job. And the offense struggled. Let's not confuse that. And Arizona State's going to be a whole different test. Now, I've always been one to think pretty lowly of Arizona State. They have a bye this week, if I remember correctly. So they've got 2 weeks to prepare for Cal. But I think this is a team that was exposed by Georgia. I think this is a team that Cal can beat, that Cal's defense can cause havoc with. I think Rudy Carpenter is mistake-prone, and the Bears can force him to be mistake-prone. The Bears nearly beat ASU last year when I think they were a better team, and the Bears were a weaker team than they are right now, you know, confidence-wise and all of that. So I definitely think the Bears can win next week, but they're going to have to go out and play a good game, particularly on offense. They're going to have to find an offensive rhythm, and they're going to have to find it early. And if that happens, the Bears could walk away with that game. If it doesn't, they could struggle. And particularly if the defense has trouble bringing pressure on Rudy Carpenter, it could be doubly troublesome because the Bears may need to put up a lot of points to win. So next week's the really interesting week. This week, as everyone kind of hoped, they didn't want it to be a difficult week. Next week could be the one. Next week is the one that's actually going to be telling of who this team is and whether Maryland is just a game we can disregard because of the travel and the heat and all that sort of stuff. A couple non-game related final thoughts. It was very nice to see the trees cut down. I went up to the top of the stadium to get a good view of it all. I heard so many comments from people with how relieved they were. I was also really glad that there wasn't some protest faction there today. I could see them coming out and wanting to cause trouble. And in fact, I saw enough Berkeley police officers around that you could tell that they were at least mildly concerned that there would be a protest presence, despite the fact that the trees have been cut down. But the fact that they didn't show up is pretty much a sign that they've conceded defeat, and the Bears are going to be able to move forward without any hassling. This is, of course, until phase two, that the actual retrofit of the stadium. God knows what kind of opposition is going to come forward for that, even though I think it'll be far easier for the Bears to win those court cases. There's no way to know who's going to come forward to fight us on that one. But seeing those trees gone, seeing that whole area empty was such a beautiful sight. It also really showed just how beautiful the west side of that stadium is. I mean, it's got a lot going for it that's been obstructed by the trees. And you really get to see how nice it looks when those trees are gone. You also get a much nicer view of the surrounding areas and the Campanile and the bay and all that type of stuff from around the rim when those trees aren't there. So yet again, further proof of just how stupid that protest was, because there's still 40 trees there. It's not like they cut down everything and clear-cut the area. There's lots of trees left. There's going to be more trees planted when they build the facility. That's just going to make it beautiful to look at, and I think it's going to be a wonderful environment with the gym there and that beautiful historic stadium in just a wonderful setting in the Bay Area. Of course, the ticketing and gate entrances remained the same because they're trying to make as much forward progress on the gym as they can during the season. They really can't make as much as they would like because they need to keep the lower concourse open. And when they build the gym, they're going to need to excavate right up to the wall of the stadium. So that entire asphalt ring around the western end of the stadium is going to have to be cut into and excavated out of. So I'm sure there will be more work done in the next couple months, but they're not really going to pull the bulldozers in until after the season's over. And then they're feverishly going to work away so that by the time next season starts, there's at least a roof, enough of a roof there that the old concourse and perhaps more is available at that time. So it will be interesting to see the progress that is made. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the On the Road Home podcast. tune in for after next Saturday's game against Arizona State. I'll have my commentary on the road home there as well. You won't hear a BearTerritory.net podcast from me this week because I'm not going to be able to make it down to the press conference on Tuesday because of work commitments, but hopefully I might be able to get in a podcast with Jason and Phil midweek, even though we weren't able to get one in this week. And of course, then you'll hear much more from me with player quotes and interviews and the such after the Arizona game in 3 weeks. So, until next week, this is Ken Crawford. Thank you for listening. On the road again.